In a world in which we too often look out for ourselves at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, continuing my talks today on Amy Carmichael's poetry. And today the subject is the taking up of the cross. You remember that when Jesus called his disciples, he said, "If you want to be my disciple, you must give up your right to yourself and take up the cross and follow me." Would any of us consider any one of those three conditions easy? I certainly would not. I cannot think of anything more unlikely that we would choose to do than to give up our right to ourselves, especially in this day and age when we are being constantly persuaded and shouted at, really, to do our own thing, to love ourselves, to build our self-esteem, work on our self-image, actualize ourselves, and on and on. What Jesus is telling us cuts diametrically across all of that kind of nonsense. What are the crucial tests of the reality of our spiritual life? I'm sure that some of you who are listening to me have studied Latin, so you know that the word crucial, crucial, comes from the Latin word crux, crux, which is also anglicized into our English word crux. That's the crux of the matter. But it means the cross. And the crucial tests of the reality of our spiritual life are those instances in which, against our human nature, our sinful, fallible human nature, we accept suffering, difficulty, trial, sorrow, heartache. In acceptance lies peace. Amy Carmichael taught me that wonderful rule, and it certainly has simplified my life and brought great calm. I was so grateful for that simple, which doesn't mean easy, but that simple spiritual principle which God reminded me of when I learned that my husband Jim had been killed. Could I bring him back? No. Could I change the fact that I was a widow? Of course not. Could I change the fact that my daughter was now fatherless? I could not. But there was one thing I could do. It was to say, "Yes, Lord," and accept that which was unchangeable. Is the crucial test of the reality of your spiritual life how many chapters of the Bible you read each day? Or how often you go to church? How lustily we sing in the choir? Or how often we sing about how much we love Jesus? How good we are compared to the rest of the people we know? Of course, we know that those are not by any means an accurate gauge to our commitment to Jesus Christ. The test is the willingness to give up our right to ourselves. How many letters I have received from women telling me of very miserable marriages and saying, "Elizabeth, you're always telling us that we have to give ourselves to our husbands. We have to be the ones to apologize. We have to be the ones trying to build the bridges. Why do I have to be the one? Why do I always have to be the one who apologizes first?" Well, of course, it's not an Elizabeth Elliott notion. It is very clearly stated in Scripture that if we want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we give up our right to ourselves right at the start. And if you've been listening to Gateway to Joy for any length of time, I'm sure you realize that I'm speaking to people with the hope that they will want to be disciples, that they will want the peace and the joy and the tremendous relief that comes in knowing that we are loved with an everlasting love, and that the one who loves us that way gave himself for us. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is, that Christ laid down his life for us, and we in our turn must lay down our lives for our brothers." This cross, then, is not a decision made once and for all, but it is the continual daily acceptance of small duties which are distasteful to us. The taking up of the cross is not a decision made once for all, but it is the continual daily acceptance of small duties which are distasteful to us. And that does not just mean changing diapers or washing dishes or cleaning the bathroom. One of our small duties, which turns out to be a pretty big one, is our obligation to other people, and especially for us married women, loving our husbands, no matter what. And one of the Amy Carmichael poems which has been most helpful and nurturing in my spiritual life took on tremendous significance back in 1948 when that amazing, wonderful man named Jim Elliot confessed his love to me and then told me that he thought perhaps God was asking him to remain single, maybe for the rest of his life, because he was going into pioneer missionary work. And both of us then had to lay the other one on the altar, as Abraham did his beloved son, Isaac. And this poem by Amy Carmichael, called "The Sign," helped me through the long years that ensued. "Lord crucified, O mark thy holy cross on motive, preference, all fond desires, on that which self in any form inspires, set thou that sign of loss. And when the touch of death is here and there laid on a thing most precious in our eyes, let us not wonder. Let us recognize the answer to this prayer. I do pray often that the Lord will mark his cross on my motives, my preferences, my fond desires." Another poem is entitled "As Corn Before the Wind." "There is no fear in love, so we draw near. Thy perfect love, O Lord, has cast out fear. As corn before the wind bends all one way, so would we bow before thy wind today. Our several choices, Lord, we would forego. Breath of the living God, O great wind, blow." Our several choices, Lord, we would forego. When's the last time you graciously and quietly let go of one of your cherished choices for the sake of somebody else, for the sake of that person's choice or preference? We are so selfish, aren't we? We are so stubborn. We so desperately need the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. Amy Carmichael wrote in another book, her little amazing book called If, which I would strongly recommend that you get just as soon as you can get your hands on it. If, every single page starts out with that word. And speaking of choices, here is one that ought to give you pause. "If I hold on to choices of any kind, just because they are my choice, if I give any room to my private likes and dislikes, then I know nothing of Calvary love." I need to repeat that, don't I? "If I hold on to choices of any kind, just because they are my choices, if I give any room to my private likes and dislikes, then I know nothing of Calvary love. And let me read again the poem that has helped me so much in some of the darkest and loneliest times of my life. Those were the times in which I was realizing that God was presenting me with a cross and saying to me, "Will you take it up? Will you accept this? Will you participate with me in my sufferings? I know what the cross felt like. They put the nails through my hands and my feet. They put the crown of thorns on my head. Will you refuse the much lesser cross that I offer to you today?" Here are Amy Carmichael's words. "Lord crucified, O mark thy holy cross on motive, preference, all fond desires. On that which self in any form inspires, set thou that sign of loss. And when the touch of death is here and there laid on a thing most precious in our eyes, let us not wonder. Let us recognize the answer to this prayer." It certainly looked to me as though the touch of death had been laid on my love for Jim Elliot when I was a college student. 7.5 years later, he died when he and I had been married just a little over 2 years. When the touch of death is here and there laid on a thing most precious in our eyes, let us not wonder. Let us recognize the answer to this prayer.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.